Well, as Andy said, we're so thrilled that you're here, and this has just been something we've been praying about and dreaming about for quite a while. And I don't know if you know this, Andy and I are preacher's kids, and there's this old adage in church world about the kind of people who show up on the opening night of a church. Do you know who shows up for opening night of a church? This is well-known truth in church world. Really cool, good-looking people, that's who. And you've proven that once again. So that's awesome. Way to go. And I do want to say this before we dive in. This is a real thrill for me. As Andy said, I'm from Gwinnett County. I went to high school here, Norcross High School. Go Blue Devils. Wendy went to Greater Atlanta Christian. She grew up in Gwinnett County. My dad pastored a church here in Gwinnett County. In fact, my dad is right here on the second row, and it was his 84th birthday yesterday. How about that? So to be a part of this, to launch a church in what we think is a very strategic county is such a thrill. So thank you for allowing me to do this. Now, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. This is Debbie Woodall. Debbie Woodall, Gwinnett Church, Debbie Woodall. And Debbie and her husband, John, have been great friends to Wendy and me, and we just love the Woodalls. And Debbie's an incredible artist, and I asked her to be here tonight. And I want to explain and kind of set up what I've asked her to do by telling you a story. As I mentioned, my dad was a pastor here in Gwinnett County for a while, and we actually moved away from Gwinnett County to go up to Habersham County when I was around the second grade, I think, and we were there from the second grade to the seventh grade, and we moved from Habersham County actually back to Gwinnett County. And when I was there at Habersham County, I had one of the first adult influences in my life other than my mom and dad, and it was the Sunday school teacher of the church my dad pastored, a man by the name of Jimmy Stapleton. Now, Jimmy was this young, cool guy, and what Jimmy would do is he was an artist. He could draw, he could paint, he would illustrate. And what Jimmy would do is he would understand what we were interested in as kids and connect it to the Sunday school lesson that he was teaching, and he would give us the paintings or the things that he drew. For example, at the time, I was interested in motorcycles. Now, I had never been on a motorcycle, and to this day, I have never been on a motorcycle. But the reason I was interested in motorcycles was because of a man named Evel Knievel. Anybody remember Evel Knievel out there? Yeah. Now, if you don't know who Evel Knievel was, he was like the first motorcycle daredevil. I mean, he would take his motorcycle and he would jump over buses. He would jump over cars. One time he tried to jump over the fountains at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. That didn't go over very well. One time he tried to jump over Snake River Canyon in a rocket a friend of his made. That didn't go over very well either. So Jimmy Stapleton knew this, and he would draw motorcycles and connect it to the Bible lesson that day. Which is interesting because, as you may know, there weren't a lot of motorcycles in the Bible. And that's why years later, I was really surprised to discover that when God parted the Red Sea, Moses and the nation of Israel did not actually cross over on motorcycles. Because according to Jimmy Stapleton, Moses popped a wheelie over that bad boy, okay? So I just love Jimmy Stapleton. So what I wanted to do is to begin to draw and to illustrate and paint. I wanted to be like Jimmy Stapleton. So around this time, remember in school when you would do like art contests and they would give you a blue ribbon, a red ribbon, or a white ribbon? Remember that? And so I wanted to be Jimmy Stapleton, so I would enter into all these art contests in elementary and middle school. And not one single time did I ever get a ribbon. Am I bitter about it? Yes, I am. Here I am still talking about it, okay? And I was bitter because I thought, I want to be like Jimmy Stapleton. And that's when I realized this sobering truth about life. That just because you're interested in something doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. You've experienced that, right? You've experienced it. Just because you're interested in something doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. Most of us experience that sobering truth. And the people who do not, these are the people who usually show up on the first 3 weeks of American Idol. Right? They say, hey, Jennifer Lopez, I have been born to sing. And so they sing, and Jennifer Lopez says, well, you've been born, but you ain't been born to sing, you're right? Randy says, dog, that was terrible. Steven Tyler, I'm never quite sure what Steven Tyler says. But the point is, hey, just because you're interested in singing doesn't mean you're going to be good at it. And I remember thinking, this is really sad. And you know what it was like? It was like there was a party that I wasn't invited to. That Jimmy Stapleton and Debbie Woodall got to go to that party, but I didn't go to that. I didn't get invited to that party. And that was kind of a sad thing. So around the seventh grade, one day I'm flipping through the TV, right? And I'm flipping through all five channels, okay? Channel 2, channel 5, channel 8, channel 11, and thank the Lord for Ted Turner, channel 17, okay? In fact, Ted's here tonight. I tell my kids, you have more ESPN channels than I had channels growing up, okay? So I turn to channel 2, nothing's on. I turn to channel 5, nothing's on. And then I turn to channel 8, Georgia Public Broadcasting. And this is what I saw.
And let's take a 1-inch brush and begin putting a little highlight on some of these distant trees back here. I'll use a little yellow ochre, maybe the tiniest little bit of permanent red. Just mix all these colors on the brush. And we'll go right back in here and just drop some basic little colors here and there. We're not worried about shape in here. We're just want some color in the background.
All right, front row. Who was that? Bob Ross. That's right. The spiritual people right here, Bob Ross. Okay, now, when I saw that, I guess the seventh grade, I was mesmerized, okay? One of the reasons I was mesmerized is, did you check out the hair Bob was rocking back in the day, right? The other reason I was mesmerized is Bob had this voice. Those of you who watched that voice, he was like, okay, now we're going to go crazy. We're going to splash some yellow over here. I mean, it was just like you're just mesmerized, right? It was hypnotic. He was basically saying, don't turn the channel, okay? But the other reason I was mesmerized was this, more importantly. Bob was saying, hey, no. You're invited to the party. You're invited to the party. If you'll spend an hour with me, I'll teach you how to paint. And what you would do with Bob Ross is for an hour, you would just kind of paint, and he would say, do this, and then you would step back, and you would have a beautiful painting. No, it wasn't a Picasso, but that's not the point. The point is that you're invited to the paint party. You're invited to paint and experience the joy and the beauty of painting. Now, here's why I say all that. Tonight's the opening night of Gwinnett Church, okay? It's our first night. And when you think about it, this pretty much represents our church. This is what we look like right now, okay? It's a blank page. It's a blank canvas. And over the next few weeks, over the next few months, what we're going to do collectively is we're going to put the first few brush strokes upon this painting, okay? But tonight, our first night together, here's what I want us to do. I want us to begin with the end in mind. Because here's the truth, okay? There's going to come a day when you and I, those of us who are launching and starting this church, we're going to give this painting and hand it to the next generation for them to lead and carry on the mission of this church. That there's going to come a day when we're going to hand that painting off to the next generation, many of whom are in Wombaland and Upstreet tonight. And here's the question. When we hand the painting off to them, and when we hand the painting off to this community, when they look at the painting that you and I have painted, what do we want them to look at and see about what we stood for? About what we hoped for? About what we prayed for and gave toward and worked together for? What do we want this painting to look like when we hand it off to the next generation? Because I'll tell you this, that day will come faster and quicker than you think. And the reason I think that's a great question is because I think Jesus wants to paint an extraordinary painting of his grace, his character, his forgiveness, his invitation. I think he wants to paint a beautiful painting through Gwinnett Church. And so I want to invite you to the paint party. And if this is your first time back in church, or you used to go to church and now you're back, or you've been in church all your life, if you're from one of our North Point campuses, or when I say North Point, you think of a mall. I just want to let you know this. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever in your background, you are invited to the paint party. Because here's what I know about you. There's something that rattles around in you and me that we want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We know that in and of ourselves, we're limited. There's something in you, there's something in me that wants to be a part of something bigger than us. That's why the local church is the best idea ever. And I want to invite you in to the paint party. And as we begin to put the first few brushstrokes, and as we think about the end in mind, I believe that if we're going to get to that day when we hand this painting off to the next generation with an exquisite, extraordinary painting, I think we have to pay attention to one thing. Not 12, not 25, not 30. We've got to pay attention to one thing. And if we get this one thing right, then I think Jesus will paint a beautiful picture through you and through me. Now, the incredible thing is that this one thing is not a secret. In fact, if you look at the life of Jesus, you see him do this. He paints an extraordinary picture of who he is upon the lives of people. One day there was a blind man along the road. One day a woman tried to reach out and touch Jesus. One time a leper came back who Jesus had healed, a group of them, and one man returned. Three different people, three different situations, three different circumstances, but one bottom line. And Jesus, in essence, said this: the reason I was able to paint is because of one thing that was present in your life. But did you know that there was a time in the Bible where it says this? Jesus couldn't. Did you know that? Did you know there's a time in the Bible where it says Jesus couldn't? I mean, Jesus couldn't, that's like an oxymoron, right? That's like jumbo shrimp or pretty ugly. That doesn't even make any sense. Jesus couldn't is unbiblical. Well, I would think that, but it's actually in the Bible. And what's interesting is the reason that Jesus couldn't is because the thing that was present in these other three stories was not present in this story. And as a result of the fact that it wasn't present, the Bible says Jesus couldn't. Here's why this is important. I don't believe that we can thwart God's will. God's going to do what God's going to do. But he can either do it with us or without us. And we can get to the end of our time here together and hand off to the next generation a wonderful painting, or we can squander the opportunity before us. And so tonight, of all the things we could have talked about on opening night, I think this is the most important thing. This is mission critical. In fact, as you're about to see, it is our mission. And so tonight, what is that one thing? Well, I want us to look at tonight the one time in the Bible when it says that Jesus couldn't. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we're going to read six verses, and then we'll dive through there here and then be done. And I tell you what, as you're turning there, I know some of you have your Bible on your phone or your iPad or your Droid or whatever, but I would love for us to bring our Bibles to Gwinnett Church. In fact, if you don't have a Bible tonight, if you'll just go to the information table, we have a Bible for you. Just say, hey, that Jeff guy said I could get a free Bible, and we'll give that to you. Okay, so I'd love for us to begin to bring our Bibles and open this up together. So Mark chapter 6, just six verses. Let's see this one thing. We'll go through this, and then we'll be done. It says this: Jesus left there, meaning that Jesus was on this ministry tour, okay? I mean, he's doing great things, and now he's kind of coming off the road, okay? Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. In other words, here's what they said. Whoa, time out. Jesus, we played Little League baseball with Jesus. He's no prophet. We went to high school with Jesus. He's no prophet. What are you talking about? Jesus is the Son of God. He's Jesus. He lived three doors down from me. Why is that? Well, Jesus gives us a clue in verse 4. Watch this. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. In other words, what Jesus is saying is it's possible to do this. It's possible to know Jesus, but not really know Jesus. It's possible to know Jesus, but not really know Jesus. And before we get too critical about the people of Nazareth, come on, all right? Come on, let me talk to the Christ followers in the room. You know it's possible for you and for me to do that as well, isn't it? Isn't it true that we can know all of the Bible and yet our belief in Jesus remains really, really small? Isn't it true to believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world, but we just don't really believe he died for our sins? And so we carry around this sin that we did 8 years ago like a ball and chain. We believe Jesus died for the sins of the world. We just don't think he really died for my sin. Or we know all the verses in the Bible about financial stewardship and generosity, and our giving has remained the same for the last 15 years. I think it's possible to know Jesus and not really know Jesus. And when that happens, you forfeit something. When that happens, there's a price you pay. There's a price that a community pays. And we see the price that the people of Nazareth paid in verse 5. Watch this. Here it is. He could not. Jesus couldn't. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And this is a tragic loss for the community of Nazareth, because they never knew the stories and the painting that Jesus could have painted in that community. They squandered it, and it was a tragic loss. However, that loss is not confined to the time and the place of Nazareth. It comes all the way up to you and to me tonight, and here's why. Did you know that tonight, Wambaland, Upstreet, and Transit are happening? Incredible ministry environments for our children and students. And did you know that we could tonight, we could have shared the amazing stories about what Jesus did in Nazareth to our children and our students, but we can't because those stories aren't available, because the people of Nazareth squandered the opportunity. We could have heard amazing sermons about what Jesus did in Nazareth, and yet they squandered the opportunity. And before we get too critical about Nazareth, I just want to let us know, Gwinnett Church, that possibility rests with us too. And it all came down to this one thing. And that one thing is in verse 6. It says this, "And he," Jesus, "was amazed at their lack of faith." He was amazed at their lack of faith. In other words, it comes down to this growing faith. You know, those other three stories I mentioned, the blind man, the lady that reached out to touch Jesus, and the leper. Jesus, he comes and says at the end of these three stories, it's amazing. He says, Your faith has made you well. And yet he goes with all these expectations to his hometown, and he's amazed at their lack of faith. And it means this, that apparently there's a connection. There's a connection between God doing great things and our growing faith. And as our faith grows, God does great things. And as God does great things, our faith grows. It's this beautiful, wonderful, mysterious dance. It all comes down to faith. I guess George Michael was right. Now, faith is one of those nebulous things. How do you know if you're growing in your faith? How do you know that? Well, tonight, I just want to let you know, we've thought a lot about this as a church, okay? In fact, our mission is to do that. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? And so I just want to let you know that when you start coming back week after week, we're simply going to do this. In fact, we even have a church logo that explains our church spiritual growth strategy. Now, I don't even know if it's necessary for a church to have a logo, but I have a marketing degree, and we're going to have a logo, okay? And that's what I've asked Debbie to paint, okay? And here's what you would make my day anytime you saw me from this point forward to our time on our journey together. Anytime you saw or you see the Gwinnett Church tree, I would love for you to come up to me and say this mantra, because as you know, with any logo, there's a mantra, right? There's the Nike swoosh, which is just do it. When you see cows or Chick-fil-A, it's eat more chicken. And we have a mantra too, okay? And it's not as catchy as any of that, but it's just three words. I would love, I don't know, this may be a big dream or a small dream, I don't know. But I would love for you, every time you see this tree, for you to think in your mind these three words, and we'll put it on the screen. Simple. Am I growing? Am I growing? Am I positioning myself to grow in my relationship? Because here's the great thing. As you grow, God begins to paint. And as your faith grows and grows, God paints and paints. And again, someday we're going to hand this painting off. And what will ensure that this painting is what we want it to be is if you and I will commit to a growing faith. And this little tree, just so you know, this little tree tells you what our spiritual growth strategy is. We think that if we'll cooperate with these things, God will grow our faith. And I want to just share this with you. I'm not going to ask you to memorize this, but I want to let you know that every one of these circles, there's a reason they're there. And I want to unpack this real briefly, and then we'll close, okay? The first three big circles you'll see on the screen and what Debbie's painting, there are three big circles. And these three big circles represent what we call three vital relationships. We believe that you should have and should pursue an intimate, personal relationship with God. We call this intimacy with God. We think that Jesus came not to have a religion with you. He came to have a relationship with you. And if that sounds foreign or weird, I totally understand. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back because we're going to explain that. The second big circle is we believe that you should be involved with community. We call this community with insiders. In a small group, we believe that you every week you should get together with a circle of 8 to 10 people, open up God's word, open up some curriculum that talks about God's word so that they can hold you accountable, you can have a sense of belonging, and they can care for you. And then the third big circle is what we call influence with outsiders. We believe that every Christ follower should at least have one relationship of a person who does not know Jesus so they can influence them, invest in them relationally, and say, hey, I know this might sound crazy, but would you come to church with me? And here's the thing, it's not only about their faith, but there's nothing quite like seeing God use you and influence someone else for eternity through you. And when you come back to Gwinnett Church, you're going to hear us point you, inspire you, and challenge you to these three relationships: intimacy with God, community with insiders, and influence with outsiders. But then there are five smaller circles. And these five smaller circles are what we believe are the five things that God uses to grow your faith. Things like pivotal circumstances and providential relationships. Those are two things that you can't necessarily do, but God certainly uses those to grow your faith. And then another circle is just private disciplines. Opening up the Bible and reading it for yourself. Praying, solitude, yes, even fasting. We believe private disciplines God uses to grow your faith. The fourth circle is practical teaching. We believe that when someone opens up the Bible and teaches practically about what the Bible has to say about how we should live our lives, we think God uses that to grow your faith and mine. And here's the great news for us at Gwinnett Church. And I would say this even if he wasn't here, okay? We have the best Bible teacher in the country in Andy Stanley. Wouldn't you agree with that? And Andy has this unique, I haven't quite figured out how to do it. He has this unique way of challenging us. And when he challenges us and steps on our toes, we're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. Or no, I shouldn't do that. Or yes, I should start that. And it's amazing. In fact, for those of you who saw the Recovery Road series, remember when Andy would go to with a flat screen and pull out the little card? Remember that? And he would like list these things and get all up in your business. Remember that? Every time he reached behind the flat screen, I was like, oh no, here he goes again, right? But I love that Andy loves you enough to step on our toes and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And the wonderful thing is here at Gwinnett Church, it's going to be video Andy most of the time. I mean, Andy will be here live occasionally. And he's raising up some great communicators like Rodney Anderson, who was phenomenal today at North Point, Joel Thomas, Clay Scroggins, just a phenomenal roster of young communicators. But here's the great thing about video Andy. That anytime video Andy gets a little bit too challenging or convicting, we'll just fast forward him. We'll just get right through that. So we got the button in the back and he'll never know, okay? But the point is this, we just think when somebody opens up the Bible and says, hey, this is what the Bible says and makes it practical, God uses it. And the final circle is personal ministry. We're gonna challenge you, and some of you are just already doing this, right? You're already engaged in the church. But here's what I'm so excited about. I'm thrilled about this. In 4 weeks, at the end of this month, we're going to launch our first community initiative together. It's called Be Rich, all right? And that's from a biblical mandate that says, be rich in good deeds. And we're about to unleash you into this community to serve as partners and ministry partners that have no idea what's coming their way. For example, there's a group called Wellspring Living in Duluth. They are this amazing ministry that ministers to women who've been sexually abused or who have been involved in sex trafficking. And our team went over there several months ago to meet with Mary Frances Boley and her team. We walked around their facility in Duluth, and we actually got to talk to one of the women that they were serving. And I drove away that day emotionally wrecked at what I saw and what I heard, and I should have been emotionally wrecked. Then we went over to visit with Maureen Carnoa, who's the executive director of the North Gwinnett Cooperative Ministries. She and her team are doing a phenomenal job serving the working poor over in Buford. And I told Maureen and I told Mary Frances and their teams, I told them this. I said, what are the walls that are facing your ministry, that are barriers to your ministry from going further and faster? What are the walls that are preventing you from going further and faster? Because here's the good news. In October, some friends of mine, we're going to get together, and figuratively speaking, we're going to take a sledgehammer and we're going to knock down those walls. And we're going to engage you, and you're going to go over there and serve them. You may have never been to North Gwinnett Cooperative Ministries. You may have never heard of Wellspring, but you're about to, and they're about to hear about you. But here's the wonderful thing. As we serve here, as we serve in the parking lot and kids, and as we go into this community, it's not just about them. God uses that to grow our faith. And here's the promise. The Apostle Paul said that if you'll keep in step with the Spirit here, in essence, God will paint over there. And as we cooperate and put ourselves in a position for God to grow our faith, there's going to come a day when we will hand this painting off to the next generation and be glad and proud of what God did through us. Now, having said that, before I close, I want to talk to those of you who are here tonight, and you'd say, Jeff, you know, faith in Jesus and a growing faith in Jesus. I don't have faith in Jesus. Somebody invited me here. They said this is a church that unchurched people would love to attend, and here you are talking about faith in Jesus. Well, first of all, we're so thrilled that you're here. And our heartbeat is to create a church that unchurched people love to attend, and we think it's a really smart thing for people to explore faith in Jesus, even if you don't have faith in Jesus. We think that's really smart because maybe, just maybe, it's true. And wouldn't you agree that if this whole Jesus thing is true, that's a game changer? And we want to create environments where you feel comfortable to explore faith in Jesus, even if you don't have faith right now in Jesus. And I don't just say that because it's easy to say. I've got story after story after story to tell you that I could point you to. In fact, let me just give you one and then we'll close. A few years ago when I was serving as the pastor at Buckhead Church, we had a 6 o'clock service like this. And one night a young lady came up to me and she said, Jeff, I have a friend named Todd and he's very antagonistic to the church and Christians. But he's been coming to Buckhead Church for a couple of weeks. Would you be willing to meet with him and just explore his questions? I said, absolutely. So Todd and I met that following week. We had coffee together, and man, she was right. I mean, he came with his list of questions, and he was ready to argue. And so about question number three, I just called a timeout, and I said, Todd, here's the deal. I'm not here to debate you. That's not why I'm here to do. But if you'll let me do this, figuratively speaking, if you'll let me get on the other side of the table and help guide you to try to help you find your answers to your questions, that's what I love to do. Because the debate's not between you and me. The debate's between you and God. And I just want to be a resource for you. So he said, okay. So we met the following week. I bought and brought Todd his first Bible. And we've started going through the book of John together. And then I got Todd into a starting point group, which is a group that meets once a week for 10 weeks just to open up the Bible and have a conversation about what the Bible has to say about itself. So around this time at Buckhead Church, we were launching a capital campaign to build this big old building, and it's going to be a multi-million-dollar campaign. And Andy came down to launch the campaign as only Andy could do. And after the service, I stood up and I turned around and there was Todd. And he said, I have a question. And I thought, I bet you do. I bet you have like millions of questions, because that's what we were talking about that day, millions of dollars. And I said, Todd, hey, look, I know this is it's easy to get skeptical about church and money. And, you know, this isn't for you, okay? This is just for those of us who, you know, we're out of space here. This is for just for those of us who want to open up some more opportunities for other people. So just don't worry about this. Just come back next week. Andy's going to start a brand new series. It's going to be good. So what's your question? And I'll never forget this. He turns back, pulls his checkbook out of his back pocket, and he said, my question was, do I make the checkout to North Point Ministries or Buckhead Church? And that's when I thought, oh no, Todd's faith is bigger than mine. And then he said this. He said, Jeff, now I'm not bought into this yet, but I never knew that there could be a place where I could explore faith in Jesus with people who were so friendly and engaging. And he said, Jeff, there are more people like me. And I just want to create more space for people like me to experience what I've experienced. And then to see Todd, a few months later, he professed faith in Christ. He got baptized at Buckhead Church. And then a year later, I love this, he was the Buckhead Church Kid Stuff Volunteer of the Year. And then I did his wedding down at Callaway Gardens. So, hey, if you're single and not a Christian, I'll do your wedding, whatever it takes, okay? But the point is this. Hey, we're talking about faith in Jesus, but you've come to the right place. And if you ever bump up against anything, you email me and you and I will go to coffee, because my heartbeat is to create a church for you so that you can explore faith in Jesus even if you don't have faith in Jesus. So wherever you are, we want you to grow, because we believe if we'll do this and just stay here, God will paint over there. Now, the one question, and we're closed, the one question that I got more than any question was this one about tonight, okay? And then we'll close. I got this question so many times. In fact, this will be the number one question I'll get tomorrow on email and Twitter and everything. And it's great. It's a great question. But the number one question I got about tonight was this one. Jeff, how many people are going to be there the first night of Gwinnett Church? And they asked me that question as if I had the answer to it. Like, I am not that smart. I have no clue. When I walked in here yesterday when we were setting up, this room looked like it would seat 75,000 people. Okay, I was just so intimidated. I was like, okay, Andy and Sandra will be here, and Wendy, that's three. So you go through all that. But honestly, that wasn't the question that I wrestled with the most. There was one question that I wrestled with, and I guessed at. And I guessed correctly. I guessed correctly at this answer. This is a big crowd, okay? But I wrestled and hung on to one question. And looking around tonight, I was exactly correct. And here's the question I wrestled with. How many people in Gwinnett County will not be here tonight? How many people in Gwinnett County will not be here tonight? That's what I thought about. And here was my answer. 99.999999% of Gwinnett County won't be here. And if the current trends in our county is true with any other county, what that means tonight is that a large majority of that 99.9999% tonight will go to bed tonight without knowing the love and the grace and the friendship of Jesus. And if you're a Christ follower, that should bother you. So how are we going to reach those people? How are we going to reach the people who aren't here tonight? I'm thrilled that you're here. This is a great start. But how are we going to reach the people who aren't here? Well, it's not going to be through direct mail. It's not going to be through Facebook or Twitter. Here's how it's going to happen. You see, if you were to come up here tonight and brush up against this painting, you would walk away with fresh paint. You ever leaned up against a wall that you didn't know was freshly painted? You walk away with some of the paint on you, right? Well, in a very real sense, that's what it should look like for Christians. That anytime someone brushes up against your life at work, in the neighborhood, at the ball field, at the dorm room, wherever you go in the grocery store, as they brush up against us, they should walk away with the fresh paint that Jesus is painting upon your life. And as they walk away with the fresh paint of what Jesus is doing in your life and my life, this is what we should pray that they say. We should pray that they say, maybe it's true. Maybe there really is a God. Maybe he really did send his son. And maybe Jesus can do in my life what I see him doing in theirs. And when that's our heartbeat, and when we say, Lord Jesus, paint and grow and stretch, he will. And again, what that means is someday, what's blank here is going to be full of stories, baptisms, We're going to blow up Wellspring Living and North Gwinnett Cooperative Ministries. What we're going to put here, what Jesus is going to put here, will be absolutely astounding. And we'll be able to hand it off to the next generation and say, you can do even better than this. That's what we're inviting you to tonight. And you are welcome to the paint party, because it's going to be the ride of a lifetime. Now, here's how I want us to close out our time today. I'm going to invite the band to come on up. And I want us to sing one final song tonight before you go. And this song, you may have never heard this song before, but basically this song, I think, is a proclamation to our Savior to say, we are here for you. Nothing is hidden. Hey, I want you to see my finances, hear the relationships. Nothing's hidden from you. You are our one heart's desire. And so tonight, I want us to proclaim that truth and welcome God to our church. I know that sounds kind of strange, okay? But we want to say, God, this isn't our church. This isn't our deal. We didn't start this church just because it's closer to our house, although that's great. We started this church because it's closer to our friends' homes who don't know you. And we welcome you to this church. We welcome you to this painting. We welcome you to our lives because we are here for you. And I want us to sing that tonight as an invitation for God to paint. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the promise of the local church. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And I pray for the people who are here tonight. Maybe someone invited them and they haven't been in church in a long time and they've got questions. I hope they would see and feel and experience our heartbeat as a church is to create a church that unchurched people love to attend, and that they are more than welcome. They're not just welcome here. We need them here to spur and challenge our faith. And Heavenly Father, we're here for you. We're not here just to do church. We're not here to go through the motions. We're here for you to do something extraordinarily significant in this county, because this is a huge county. There are more high schoolers in this county than any other county in the state of Georgia. What would it look like for there to be a revolution to break out among high school students in this county? That's possible. And so will you freshly paint upon our lives tonight? Will you paint your character, your grace? Will you challenge us? Will you inspire us? Will you paint upon our lives so that when people brush up against our lives, they walk away with the fresh paint of what you've done through and in us? This is our heartbeat. We are here for you and you alone. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.